Welcome to Car Chronicles, man. It's your boy, Mogul D, reporting live, guys. Hey, guys, if you can please do me a favor, head over to either Apple Podcasts or Spotify in the search bar, type in Car Chronicles 313, all together, no spaces. And if you can, please subscribe. If not, definitely click on, you know, one of the latest episodes and have a listen. You know, if you want some investment, encouragement and knowledge, click on one of the Dogecoin and cryptocurrency and stock episodes. But right now, guys, we talking about something much more deeper. I am a black man. I'm 29 years old. I have experienced racism multiple times. I know it's people that's my age, younger than me, older than me, you name it, and they've never experienced racism. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't, but I know for a fact, on average, most people have never experienced racism the amount of times that I have personally, and I live in Detroit, Michigan. But when I step across this borderline in my city that we call 8 Mile, this is where every racist thing has happened to me. Honestly, the worst racist thing happened to me exactly on that border. So that's like not even taking a step across that border and you experience racism. Also, I'm like, don't come this way. You close enough. So I could go on and on. Rest in peace to George Floyd. And right now I'm getting on here to talk about, his name is Dante. I don't want to get this brother's last name wrong. Dante Wright, a 20-year-old. When I tell you I can't believe, because this is unfolding right now. I'm watching, I'm researching, figuring out. This apparently happened yesterday. Stuff doesn't get to people in other states, you know, as fast if it's not local news, you know, and stuff like that, or out of the surrounding areas of that particular area, state or city. But I'm getting it the next day, probably 24 hours later. Again, a 20-year-old by the name of Dante Wright was shot by a female officer, and of all places, guys. Of all places, this man was shot and killed. He was shot one time. I don't know where in his body. By the body cam footage, it looked like he was probably shot in the abdomen area, which is, again, a fatal area if you've ever been to the gun range. That's considered a very fatal target. Shoot right, you know, in the middle of the abdomen. He was shot and, they're trying to say that this cop shot this young man. He was mixed. His mother's white and his daddy's black. I've seen them on the news. I've watched the interview of them. So he's a biracial kid. I have a biracial child. So it's touching somebody like me in multiple ways. Dante looks like he could look like both of my sons when they grow up. And, it's just irritating. If you're not affected by this, you must not be black, probably. You must not be human. You must not. I'm somebody that the past, the George Floyd trial, I'm going to be going back and forth, guys, so stay with me. This is because this is in real time. This is in current time. This is happening right now. The George Floyd trial is on day 12 or 13. And it's Tuesday, so they just resumed yesterday on Monday. Obviously, they get a break, recess for the weekend. And just for that to be going on, and I'm dissecting this case. Like, I'm not going with the people posting about it on social media, and that's how I get my understanding of this George Floyd trial. That's what it seems like, because they're trying to, you know, say George Floyd caused his own death, but it's the Derek Chauvin, the cop that kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes. That man is on trial. So again, I'm dealing with that. Like, me personally, I can't speak for a family member. I can't speak for nobody else, but I'm highly invested into what is going on. I need to see this. I know this is history. It's beyond historical. So I'm paying attention. I have to. I got to find the time. Even if I'm not watching it live when it's on, I got to at least look it up that day and figure out what happened in this case. The key points for sure. But I'm actually watching this trial. So to be dealing with that and to find out that this young man, like, first of all, to see the post the moment I wake up, the first thing I'm seeing is posts about this child. I'm seeing pictures, different people I know posting pictures of him. Celebrities post, it's like the same picture. What is going on? I go to YouTube, type it up. I'm able to pull up the video. This apparently happened yesterday, one day ago. And again, I later found out that this young man was shot by a 26-year police officer. This woman has been a cop for 26 years. And he was pulled over apparently for, you know, having something dangling in his window. And then they're trying to say on top of that, his registration was expired and all that. Okay, cool. Y'all pulled him over for that. How's this man end up dying? So what they're trying to put out there already in 24 hours is that this cop mistakenly thought she had her taser out and shot this man. So me being a black man in this country, I know for a fact that's probably a way that, you know, these people are trying to find a way to get away with stuff and not be in the position Derek Chauvin is in. Let me say it was a mistake. So now I need for it to be to where, I'm going to say this now, it need to be to where tasers aren't fucking shaped or, you know, they're not like guns. It need to be like just a button you press or something, like something handheld in the palm of your hands, not like a gun, to where you can't say you thought this was your taser. So again, that's the excuse she is using. But again, nobody's buying it. It's been protests and everything. And mind you, the deepest part about this kid getting shot is it happened in Minnesota, 10 miles away from where George Floyd got killed. This happened in the same place. Not the same state, in a different city. In the same place. 10 miles away? Like my guy Shannon Sharp said, a hop, skip, and a jump away? So you think the cops closest to Derek Chauvin, this cop probably knew Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin probably, I don't know all this stuff, but this is how I think. Derek Chauvin probably used to work with this cop, or they met, they went to the same academy, or this and that, or it could be as simple as their wives know each other. If you that close in proximity, come on, let's be real. So you think these cops, out of all the cops in the country, aren't probably, I don't know, mad about what Derek Chauvin going through or whatever, thinking of a way to get back at black people for this? They probably don't like the outcome of the trial. I don't know. But the shit is too fucking weird for me. Too weird for this shit to be, for this stuff to be this close in proximity. Now, on top of that, again, that happened yesterday. So today I'm literally currently watching the Derek Chauvin trial. And it was deep because, again, I've seen a total of, I didn't know the exact number, but I knew it was a lot of witnesses, you know, get obviously questioned by both the prosecution and the defense, you know. And I didn't know the exact number once again, but I later found out because the news did it for me. It was a total of 38 witnesses that had took the stand before today. And I kept telling my wife, I'm like, baby, you know, I want to see who going to be that witness to really, like, it's going to be hard for them to, you know, hold their emotions and that, you know, which would, in my opinion, affect the jury. Like, this is deep. All these people have already been talked to, and now this person is coming up and they showing all their emotion. And that person ended up being, and I was a little confused. It's probably because of how they doing the case or whatever, or how stuff has been presented to the world, or to the public. I thought George Floyd's girlfriend was the one in the back seat, but now I later found out the one in the back seat is the lady that we later seen in the convenience store hugging George Floyd, hugged her, and he ended up offering her a ride home. So she was the one in the back seat. George Floyd's girlfriend is a Caucasian woman, and this woman is an African. She's a black, and her being on the witness stand, she's just so emotional, and, you know, she just not with none of the bullshit, guys. You know, I could go on and on, you know. And I just feel like today is a powerful day. On top of that, the news and different outlets is reporting that the prosecution is getting prepared to rest their case, meaning they done calling witnesses or whatever. They ready to get the jury to make a decision on this trial. So, boom. What made me get on here right now is something that kind of, it has me very, it bothers me, because the defense attorney for Derek Chauvin ended up asking the judge for something. I don't even know this word, honestly. I would have to go back to it real fast. I think it's called, what is the name of this word? He asked the judge for sequestration. Chauvin's lawyer requests sequestration of jury in life. Okay, so again, I've never heard of that word in my life, but he ended up explaining talking more to where I think I got to understand it. So he's basically trying to say, is the jury, I don't know if this man is trying to postpone his trial or what, but, and remember I said this, guys, but he literally is trying to say, because of what happened in Minnesota, not too far away from here, he actually went as far as to tell the judge, which I feel like he shouldn't be able to do, and George Floyd attorneys probably should have said, I object to what he is saying, but again, he's trying to say that the jury has connections to people close to what happened to Dante Wright and everything else. And it's just too close in proximity. So are they, you know, prepared to make a guilty or a not guilty decision on this trial and not, have it pretty much, I guess, coincide with what's actually happening in real life? And I just looked at that as bullshit. I looked at that as straight bullshit. You can't stop what's going on in the real world. Just like the judges, when people are on a witness stand and they're basically talking about stuff like, I don't know if the defense asked, was George Floyd high? And the person says, like, I mean, I've gotten high before. It's an objection or something like that. Like, you don't say too much of what happened in the past. Just talk about what happened. And it's like, okay, so in my opinion, the defense shouldn't be able to fucking ask, oh, something is going on right now. Don't let what's going on with that affect this trial. Like, no, fuck that. This is real time. I can understand somebody talking about them getting high 5 years ago. Y'all not want that to count. This just happened during this trial. So the jury should be more than liable to be affected by that too. They don't have to bring it up. You the one bringing it up, Mr. Defense Attorney, Mr. Nelson. And I can't stand this guy. I know he doing his job, but his angle as a fucking defense attorney is like, I wouldn't pick you. I don't know. He full of shit. He acts the dumbest shit. He seemed confused. He seemed lost and everything else, in my opinion. So I hope his career is done after he loses this case. But again, Dante Wright, 20 years old, and they're trying to say this female police officer, again, that has been on the force for 26 years, and she is actually a leading member of the, I think they said the police union. So you're ahead of probably thousands, tens of thousands of cops, apparently, and you're trying to say you made a mistake and shot somebody. Mind you, guys, this has been said millions of times probably for cops shooting black people. I thought it was my taser. Shit, if tasers didn't exist, they'd probably say they thought it was their billy club or their handcuffs. I thought I was grabbing my handcuffs, but I grabbed my gun and shot. Anything to get away with the shit. So I give up. I'm kind of leave it at that, guys, because again, I got more research. This is in real time. I can't obviously talk about something that's not going on or I'm not aware yet. I'm going to stay updated on what's going on. I just want to say to all my black brothers out there, like, be careful. I just posted probably the deepest status. I don't even be on Facebook and stuff posting statuses and nothing that much, but I just posted the deepest thing to the public, and I said, Dear America, AmeriKKKA, I need my family and my family need me. #, this has to stop. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because again, it's scary when you get pulled over and you know you ain't do nothing wrong. Like, you know, or if you did do something wrong, or if your tail light or something, you're like, you're not prepared to get, again, talked to like you nothing, and possibly roughed up and beaten and belittled and all that stuff that police, these white cops decide to do to. It's not all of them, guys. It's not, because I'm somebody, again, I've experienced racism, but I've interacted with plenty of cops that were white and they had the human spirit to where I was thankful that they were that way. But obviously it's a balance with that, because again, a lot of white cops, are bad people. Like, and some of them, they got levels, you know. Some of them will just write you 5 tickets, you know. Some will pull you over and say you was doing 25, but you was only doing 10 over, you know. So it's levels to it. But that's what I always talk to my black people about, or at least I try to. Like, people think racism is just, like, I guess the N-word, or, you know, they basically, you know, sum it up to one thing. It's like, no, racism is a cop, in my opinion, knowing, like, if I pull this person over and give him some tickets and they don't pay it or whatever, oh, their license is suspended, and then next time I pull them over, I can take them to jail. So it's like, you know, like, or not me, one of my other partners, they just got to run into the right cop and get to, like, so they, I know for a fact they think like that, because I know too many people that have suspended licenses that haven't even had a license that long and they black. Soon as you, and where I'm from, as soon as you cross 8 Mile and stuff like that, you liable to get pulled over. You ain't got to do nothing wrong. You ain't got to speed. You ain't got to run a stop sign, nothing. The police is watching you. They sit at the borderlines like it's going to Canada or Mexico, where I'm from. I can't speak for Atlanta or LA or nothing, but that's how they do it. They show you they don't want you to come over there. And me personally, when I'm, it's a streetcar grass shirt. It's like the heart of our city. This the longest, busiest street going through the east side of Detroit. The heart of Detroit. And again, when you get the grass shirt at 8 Mile, if you cross across, that's another city called East Point. Or you could be somewhere else other than grass shirt. If you cross 8 Mile, it's, you're in Warren or St. Clair Shores or these different counties. You hear the name of them, they just sound fancier than Detroit. You know, you're in Redford or Bloomfield Hills or Nova, all these nice places where majority white people live, and it's multi-million dollar houses and all that. So again, they sit at these borderlines, and me personally, when I cross that borderline, it could be a cop, I could see them sitting at the red light, you know. It done happened to me a million times. Well, I'm not going to say it done almost happened to me, because cops have a million times, because cops have gotten behind me that many times once I crossed that borderline. I ain't did nothing wrong. I just crossed over. And it's like, they'll be sitting like in a park position or whatever, or just sitting there. It don't matter. They haven't moved. I've been sitting at this light for 3 minutes or whatever. Then soon as, you know, me and 500 other cars cross over for some reason, I don't know what it is with me, but they lock on to me and pull behind me. It's the weirdest shit ever. It happens to me all the time to this day. I could go do it right now while I'm recording this video, and it could possibly, it's a 90% chance it might happen. And again, like, if I'm not right or whatever, they gonna pull me over. I got pulled over to the precinct, all that. I didn't do nothing wrong. A cop, in my opinion, just happy that he was able to pull me over and have something to take me in for. You know, so, you know, it's just real deep how, you know, this country is. And I'm just tired of white people feeling like they better than other people and stuff like that. And I just hope better days ahead. That's all you can really pray for, is that better days are coming, you know. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be the case. I'm pretty sure. But, you know, just God bless everybody. I'm praying that this George Floyd case goes exactly the way it should go, especially after what happened yesterday. But again, it's still work to be done in this country. On top of coronavirus, you got to think all this is going on. You know, during the pandemic, for the most part, the United States and the rest of the world have been shut down. So how are cops still finding a way to kill black people? And I'm going to leave it at that. It's Car Chronicles.